Please take a seat. Good morning and happy new year to everybody, and welcome to the first Board of Public Works meeting of 2026. You know, before we get started, I just wanted to address some breaking news that just came out just a few minutes ago. And these are the new job numbers from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And these are sobering numbers that the Bureau of Labor Statistics have just released, that in October and November, Maryland alone lost about 10,300 federal jobs. That they are the first, and these are the first numbers to reflect the Trump-Vance administration's so-called fork in the road resignations that began taking place on October 1st. And the Bureau of Labor Statistics also indicated that since Donald Trump's inauguration 1 year ago, that Maryland has lost nearly 25,000 federal jobs. That number is more than any state in the entire country. That federal jobs in the state of Maryland that are located in Maryland represent about 6% of our overall employment and about 10% of our overall wages. As I said, months into the new Trump-Vance administration, what is happening to the state of Maryland that these are not glancing blows? These are direct shots. They are direct shots that are impacting every single corner of our state. And it's not just the numbers. It's we know the people who this is actually impacting. It's the people who are working in Frederick County, Montgomery County, and Carroll County, and Baltimore County, and Prince George's County. People who had good, strong, reliable jobs, people who were public servants. People who had the audacity of doing things like making sure that our food is safe. People who had the audacity of doing things like making sure that veterans who were coming home from service overseas were getting the medications they needed. People who had the audacity of doing things like making sure we were finding the cures to diseases. These are the people we're talking about when we're talking about the 25,000 Marylanders who now have been given pink slips by the Trump-Vance administration. And we are here because Washington has broken its pact with Maryland, and Maryland and Washington has broken its pact with all 50 states. Donald Trump ran on a premise that he alone could fix it. What he didn't tell the American people was that he alone could break it. And the policies that we continue to see from this White House have continued to make all of our lives harder. And we know this because I am in communities every single day. We hear about this every single day. And while we know that there is not a single state in this country that has the balance sheet to make up for the kind of damage that we are seeing from the folks in Washington, we also know that from the policies that we're seeing on board, that things are only getting worse. So I'll say this up. We do not get to choose the moments that we get to lead in. But when those moments show themselves, we choose whether we get to lead or not, and whether we will lead or not. And I'm proud of the fact that in this state, we are choosing to lead. That when we saw this Trump-Vance administration take these draconian measures to slash a federal workforce, to force a senseless federal government shutdown, the longest in our nation's history, that our state stepped up with resources and supports to make sure that our people were protected. That even before this administration took over, we've been saying that we've got to be able to diversify our economy off of Washington, D.C., off of the traditions of the heads, the feds, and the meds, and saying that, yes, we will always protect our legacy industries, but we've got to start looking towards industries of the future, and we've got to make sure we're diversifying our economy, particularly when you have a partner in Washington, D.C. who is unstable, that we know that betting our economic destiny on the whims of who sits in a certain seat was never a prudent strategy. It is why our administration has been focused on our industries of the future to include anchoring institutions like life sciences and IT and aerospace and defense, industries that we know that there's not just unique pathways for Maryland to lead, but that Maryland has unique assets to make sure that we can become the national leader. And then our first 3 years in office, we've seen the results from putting a focus on diversifying an economy and also growing an economy, where that today we can stand here despite the news of this morning, knowing that we have created nearly 100,000 new jobs in our state, secured more than $10 billion in private sector investment in the state of Maryland, and created more than 35,000 new businesses in the state of Maryland, or recruited new businesses to come to the state of Maryland from other states in just the past 3 years. In the last 2 months of 2025 alone, we saw how AstraZeneca announced a $2 billion investment in our state, the largest investment in a single company in Maryland's history, which will support more than 2,500 jobs. We saw how Samsung Biologics announced they've selected Maryland to be the home of their very first U.S. manufacturing facility. That investment and that announcement was a direct product of a successful engagement with Samsung executives during our first trade mission in Asia last year. And we have seen that despite the numbers from this morning, that because of private sector growth and because of smartly being able to support our federal workers, that Maryland now still, despite having more federal job losses than anyone in the United States of America, still has an unemployment rate of 4.2%, which is still well below the national average. That doesn't happen by accident. Despite our federal government's unjustified and reckless assault on Maryland, and one that is not stopping anytime soon, we continue to grow and we continue to lead. So as we navigate the uncertainties of this world ahead, we are going to continue to protect our people. We will never bend the knee. We will defend our federal workers, and we'll continue to be laser focused on growing an economy and strengthen our national leadership in the industries of the future. We are going to continue to work in partnership with my colleagues on this board, with our legislators, with our local government leaders, our partners in the congressional delegation, our partners in the private sector, in communities, our small businesses, our community leaders. We will continue to make sure that we are building a state that, despite the actions of our federal government, will leave no one behind. With that, I'd like to turn it over to my colleagues for their response and comments as well. Madam Comptroller.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Governor. Thank you, Governor Moore, Treasurer Davis, everybody. Happy New Year. I just first want to thank the governor and the Secretary of Labor for their candor and transparency around these numbers. I certainly agree with everything that the governor just said and applaud his leadership in helping us to diversify our employment base and our economy. I also want to note, you know, these numbers are incredibly concerning for a number of reasons. One, because they represent not a thoughtful approach to making government more efficient, but a whack-a-mole attack on important federal services. But although they are concerning, they're also not unexpected. We have been planning for this. The governor's teams have been planning for this. We have known these numbers are in line with what our Bureau of Revenue estimates forecast last year. We also had the benefit, I know many people are thinking about revenues right now, so I'll talk a little bit about what this means for our revenues. We had the benefit of November withholding data in our estimates when we met in December and adopted at the Board of Revenue Estimates meeting those new estimates. I'm sure all of you follow the BRE religiously and don't miss any BRE meetings. But in case you missed that meeting, as a reminder, our forecast remained relatively unchanged from September, and the board forecast total general fund revenues of $26.7 billion in FY26, which was a growth of 4.1% over the FY25 actual revenue, and $27.1 billion in FY27, which is an increase of 1.4%. So modest growth, but still positive. Maryland's revenues remained resilient throughout 2025. I think every month when we would see them come in, we were encouraged and pleased that we had gained another month of solid and resilient revenues. Our withholding, our capital gains, and our sales and use tax performed well. Also, a few points on our economy and our revenues. As the revenue administrator, you know, I believe it's important to note there is also not a perfect match between jobs data and withholding revenue. This is jobs data for Maryland, but of course, many Marylanders do not work in Maryland. They work in our tri-state area. And second, I will also note that we are living through what many economists have called this K-shaped economy. Our general fund revenues were steady through November, in part because they were helped by capital gains revenue. You know, Maryland is truly bolstered by our high income earners and has one of the highest median incomes in the nation. Meaning, so folks on the upward leg of the K have been doing better as stocks have risen, housing values have increased, and more. And of course, the engines of today's economy, the AI ecosystem, wealthy consumers, those two are connected. But then there's also the downward leg of the K. In Maryland, we still have a significant portion of households, nearly 39%, that struggle to afford basic necessities. This includes households in poverty and those just above the poverty line, but still facing financial hardship. But because we have so many higher income households in Maryland, those families who own homes and have investment portfolios, their spending and income sometimes masks the fact that individuals on the other side of the K are struggling, but they do still have jobs. So fundamentally, the yin and yang of the economy is bolstered by the fact that our unemployment rate is still lower than the national unemployment rate. This is a relatively low unemployment rate time. And however, I'll note money is not going as far. And so people on that downward leg of the K are spending less. And you see this where consumers are spending. Restaurants without a beer and wine license are seeing a decline in revenue relative to their peers who have a license. Supermarkets are seeing a drop in revenue for the taxable goods that they sell, meaning people are shopping for basics and not prepared foods. Credit debt has increased, and in Maryland, it is now higher than the national average. You know, I think I want to echo everything that the governor said on the importance of diversifying our economy and underline that. And also on the need to continue to make sure that we attract and retain a solid educated workforce in Maryland. We know that we need to do what we can to attract people to Maryland and ensure that they can build a life here. And that means we have to continue doing the work of making Maryland a more affordable place to live. We know that more families and younger workers have left Maryland since the pandemic because it's become less affordable relative to some of our peer states. And the governor and his team and all of us are working to ensure that we can take measures to make housing more affordable, like your announcement yesterday, and to do the work of building a more affordable state. So with all of this work that we're doing now and in the session ahead, I think we always have to continue to ask ourselves, how can we make Maryland more affordable for the residents and businesses who are here and who want to stay here or move here? How can we make it more affordable to raise families, start a business, and retire? And if we continue to center Marylanders and Maryland businesses where they are this year, I know that we will continue to be a resilient and resurgent state. So thank you and appreciate the opportunity to provide a little bit of input on what this means for our revenues. Thank you.
Listen, everything's been said that needs to be said. So in short, what they're saying is that while we have some difficult days ahead, Maryland's fine, plain and simple. Maryland's fine. It's nothing, although we're disappointed in the actions that have occurred, it's nothing we haven't expected, which is why the revenue estimate are spot on. We don't have to do any write downs or anything of that nature. The good news, I guess, for the employers, we're still in table A, which is the lowest for you know, in terms of determining how much they have to contribute for the unemployment insurance fund. We haven't seen a spike in un- unemployment insurance claims. So we're going to get there. There shouldn't be in any, while it's bad news, there's just no other way to put that. It wasn't unexpected news. That's the takeaway. We, thanks to the hardworking state employees and, you know, to the leaders that we had, we did accurate forecasting. So it all of this is baked in and we're ready to go. So Governor, as we move on, I just wanted to take a quick note. As I look out at my former colleagues, former Delegate Jeannie Hattieway, Riccio, and Talmadge Branch, it's a perfect segue to announce or to just recognize that we have a new House Speaker, Jocelyn Pena Melnick. Pena, I'm sure I'm not telling you all anything you don't know or haven't read by now, but she came in, I think it was the 2006 election, so she's been around about 20 years now. She's going to do a tremendous job representing the House, the first Latino African to ascend to that position. As we've seen, the House is growing and in terms of being just more diverse and new emerging leaders. And she's going to be at the top of that and helming all of that. So we look forward to a new era in the House and the things that are going to occur. And also just a quick moment to sort of, well, she still got a little ways to go, but I thought about my colleague many years, Delegate Ann Healy, who announced yesterday, I believe it was, that she'll be retiring. She's one of the few legislators down here who got here before me. So she's going to be concluding, I guess this is her 36th year, I think it would be. So it's just a long tenure of service. Probably six or seven governors and you know, probably close to that in terms of speakers that she served with as well. So if you see Ann, please tell her job well done, Governor.
Thank you so much, Treasurer, and thank you. We're all really looking forward to the leadership of the new speaker. I enjoyed having her as colleague for all of us for many, many years. And so we're excited. We're excited for the leadership she's going to be able to bring to the House. With that, we will begin with the business of the day. Mr. Secretary, Happy New Year and good morning.
Good morning and Happy New Year to you, Mr. Governor and Mr. Treasurer and Madam Comptroller. There are 9 items on the Secretary's agenda this morning and 1 report of emergency procurement contract award. However, at the request of the Department of Planning, I'm withdrawing item 8, leaving 8 items and the emergency procurement contract award for your consideration this morning.
Thank you. Is there any discussion on the Secretary's agenda?
No discussion.
May I have a motion to approve the Secretary's agenda?
Motion to approve the Secretary's agenda.
Is there a second? I'll stand and thank you so much, Mr. Secretary. We'll proceed with the Department of Natural Resources. Deputy Secretary, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Governor, Mr. Treasurer, Madam Comptroller. For the record, my name is Dave Gosshorn, Deputy Secretary of the Department of Natural Resources. I'm standing in for Secretary Kurtz while he's on paternity leave.
Something exciting happened?
He had a little, or his wife,
trying to get some sleep.
Baby girl, December 22nd, I think it was. Everyone's doing great. Little sleep deprived, but they're doing great. And I'm looking forward to him coming back in a couple weeks. DNR has 9 items on the agenda today for your consideration. I or any of the DNR staff I have here with me today are happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you so much. Have any comments on the DNR agenda?
No comment.
Okay. May I have a motion to approve the DNR agenda?
Motion to approve the DNR agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Letting you off easy there, Deputy Secretary.
Thank you very much.
Morning. Thank you so much. Next up, University System of Maryland, Mr. Hickey. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Good morning, Governor, Mr. Treasurer, Madam Comptroller, Tom Hickey, representing the University System of Maryland. There are 8 items for your consideration, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you so much. Is there any discussion on the USM agenda?
Nope. I just want to thank you for answering our questions on the Bowie State contract and ensuring that it meets climate solutions requirements and, appreciate the back and forth discussion. Thank you.
May I have a motion to approve the USM agenda?
Motion to approve the USM agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thanks so much, Mr. Hickey.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll receive the MDOT agenda. Mr. Domsky, good morning. Happy New Year.
Morning. Happy New Year, Governor, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer, Valerie Radomski, representing the Maryland Department of Transportation. Today, we are presenting 17 agenda items for your consideration, and we have representatives available to answer any questions you may have.
Are any comments on the MDOT agenda?
I just wanted to make a quick note. Seems small, but important, and to note item 4C by the MTA. This is a contract for the refurbishment and replacement of the AC breakers in the metro stations. And it's small, but this is exactly the kind of important investment that needs to be made to make sure that we are building a system in good repair and addressing the state of good repair challenges. The capital needs inventory that comes out every few years, you know, continues to show a need for system enhancements and investments in our good repair and the good repair of our assets. And those are really crucial to ensure the delivery of safe, reliable, and efficient service. So it's always good to see it when, you know, just this basic things that have to be done to keep the trains running our time are coming. So let's just keep chipping away at that capital needs inventory. Thank you.
May I have a motion to approve the MDOT agenda?
Motion to approve the MDOT agenda.
Is there a second? Okay. Outstanding. Thanks so much, Mr. Donnelly. Thank you. And we'll conclude with the DGS agenda. Secretary Chaudhry, Happy New Year.
Good morning. Good morning, sir. Mr. Governor, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer. For the record, I'm a Chief Charter Secretary of the Maryland Department of General Services. Today, the department is presenting 55 items in our agenda, including one report for an emergency, for an expedited procurement. We are withdrawing two items today. The first item is item 42IT, Task Order 1.1, and the second item is 51S. Our agenda does feature 29 capital grants and loans totaling over $8.8 million. I did want to highlight one very quickly, and that's item 11 CGL, which provides $1 million to the Board of Directors of the Maryland Deaf Community Center located in Frederick for their one-stop center for individuals with hearing impairments. As we continue to keep an eye on minority business participation and contracting, our agenda does feature two contract awards to certified minority business totaling more than $2.9 million. And we have agency representatives here to answer any questions you may have.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Mr. Secretary. I would first like to call up item 53, which is a request from the Department of Natural Resources to ratify a lease holdover for Days Cove property that's located at Gunpowder Falls State Park. Deputy Secretary Gosher, good to see you again, sir. And he'll share a little bit more about this request. Thank you.
Yes, item 53-00 is a short-term, approximately six-month extension of an existing lease to allow Days Cove Landfill to continue to operate until May 29th, which is located on Gunpowder Falls State Park property. I think the most important point I want to make is that it is DNR's priority and commitment to finally close and cap this landfill and transfer its use to public accessible use at our beautiful Gunpowder Falls State Park, which before any of our time, but I am certain was the intent when this was originally purchased as an active landfill 40 years ago. We are committed to finally making that happen. However, in doing so and transferring it to a safe, a public usable facility that doesn't saddle an environmentally sound facility, that doesn't saddle the state with a lot of maintenance costs going forward, that takes a little bit of time. We need to work through that process. We've worked with the landfill operator. We had a plan prepared to go forward. There were a significant amount of concerns raised by the local community. So we have tabled that temporarily and bringing to you the six-month extension of the lease to allow us time to work with the community, address their concerns, and then come back to you in late April or early May with a long-term plan. We've already reached out to the community. We already had one introductory meeting with them over the holidays. We have another one scheduled for January 20th to get more into the nuts and bolts. We've identified a short list of issues, not just how to cap and close the facility and the time frame for that, but also to get their input on what they'd like to see the land used for as part of the park post-closure. We've also been working with the landfill operator who's been very collaborative on this. He's even offered, if we would like, to bring this group to the landfill, have him show them how they operate, how they, what they need to do to close down, et cetera. So those conversations are underway. I obviously can't guarantee that we're going to come to 100% agreement on every 100% of the issues, but at the very least, when we come back to you in the spring, we'll have a plan that is informed by these conversations where everyone understands where everyone's coming from. We've done our best effort to have a plan that everyone's on board with.
And thank you for that presentation. And thank you for regrouping and working with the operator, but also importantly with the community and the local elected officials there. I did have one other question. And my understanding is that also this will make the permit, or this will put the lease on the same timeline as the forthcoming MDE permit. Is that accurate?
Right, correct. There is a MDE is currently reviewing a discharge permit, which has not yet been issued. We expect that that will be issued before the end of this period. So the long-term plan we come before you with will be consistent with that.
Okay.
That permit.
I think that's, that is an important point. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Secretary. I would also like to highlight item 54, which is a request from the Department of Commerce to award $6.9 million grant awards to 10 nonprofit organizations through the Maryland Arts Capital Grant Program. This capital grant program provides support for nonprofit organizations with direct access to state funding for capital projects that will focus on enhancing and creating accessible arts facilities and facilities that everybody within our state can benefit from. The batch of awardees, and the reason why I wanted to highlight this, is diverse, unique, and doing some really powerful work. It recognized organizations like ones where in Somerset County, a new 2,800 square foot performing arts and cultural education center is going to be built by the Crisfield Arts Syndicate. Places like in Montgomery County, where the Black Rock Center for the Arts will expand its theater seating and to make accessibility improvements. In St. Mary's County, the Carver Community Center will be renovated into usable community arts and community makerspace. That these projects won't just expand arts all across Maryland. They're going to expand the spaces that making that ensure that everybody in our state can enjoy these wonderful facilities. And so we're excited for these organizations to be lifted up. With that, is there any further discussion on the DGS agenda?
I'd also like to echo the praise of just tout how excited I am to see the Maryland Arts Capital Grant Program continue to provide these small and mid-sized organizations with access to funding for capital projects that enhance or create accessible art facilities. I sponsored the legislation that created this program along with Congresswoman Sarah Elfreth. And so it's just exciting to see it come to fruition. And of course, I need to mention that these are not just grants for grant's sake, but there's important ROI on these grants. Maryland arts organizations contribute over $1 billion in total economic impact. They generate over $50 million in state and local tax revenues annually and engage over 9 million visitors each year, according to a report from Maryland Citizens for the Arts. So, in every region of Maryland, we are really fortunate to have a vibrant arts scene. And that is because of the important work that the Maryland State Arts Council does in administering not only this program, but its operating grant programs as well. So I know that Maryland will continue to be a leader in the nation for arts and culture and ensure the same access we enjoy today for generations of Marylanders to come. So kudos to our Maryland State Arts Council and all our arts organizations for getting this out. And then I would, Mr. Governor, Mr. Secretary, also just like to ask that item 27 CGL be pulled out for a separate vote just because it's an extension. But otherwise, no other comments. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you. So, Ms. Secretary, we'll pull item 27 out for a separate vote. So first, we'll take up item 27. On this item, may I have a motion to approve?
So move.
Okay. I will be the second. So the item passes 2-1 with the comptroller voting in the negative. And on the remainder of the DGS agenda, may I have a motion to approve the agenda?
Motion to approve the remainder of the DGS agenda.
Okay. May I have a
second?
Second. Outstanding. Thank you both so much. And this concludes today's meeting of the Board of Public Works. Next meeting will be January 28th. Thank you all. We are adjourned.
Thanks.